Your Bibles, open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5. Last week we looked at Christ being our great high priest, and he was likened to after the order of Melchizedek. And when we get to chapter 7, we'll deal with Melchizedek and the details of that. And you're going to see that God rebukes the recipients of this letter because they weren't able to handle things like, what are you talking about when you're talking about the order of Melchizedek, that Christ is after that order? What in the world are you talking about? And so let's look at verse 12 of chapter 5, and I'll go through verse 3 of chapter 6. Hello, message, the need for Christians to grow up, the need for Christians to grow up. It says in verse 12, it says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead, repentance from dead work, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. We'll have a good time trying to just explain what is the writer, what is God trying to tell us in verses 1 and 2. And I trust you might understand, and then verses 1 and 2 will be simple. When we get back from Chile 2 weeks from today, then it does get even more controversial. But let's just look at that title of the message again, the need for Christians to grow up. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 is one of my favorite. For when ye ought to be teachers, right? It's an assumption. It's a given in God's word that every believer should teach others the Bible. I say it all the time. What Bible school did the woman at the well go to before she started declaring what she knew? None. I'm not against Bible college. I'm not against study. I'm not against learning. You ought to be doing that. But I want to tell you, for when you ought to be teachers, the expectation of God, and that's the Great Commission. The Great Commission shouldn't be as shocking as it seems to be when I bring it up, and it's that God intends for us to teach. And I bring up those names before I preach just because I'm delighted in those. Do not take offense if I didn't mention someone that you're pursuing. It's good. God will reward you even better. I pray for those names. I think of those names, and I'm just thrilled about it. That's what we are called to do, and that's to reach the lost. But he says here, so this is a criticism, when you ought to be teachers, he said, you need someone to teach the first principles of God. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 here, and I'll just talk about that. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Talking to this church at Corinth, young church, you got to understand, there were no Baptist transfers in the church at Corinth. So people that were saved, it's like, you know, you don't even see when he's writing the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Typically, what you will see when he writes these letters to the Gentiles, he's many times talking to the Jews. Have you noticed that many times in the Word of God? It's because the Jews were the spiritual leaders. You don't find that in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Corinth was so bad, it looks like no Jews lived there, right? I mean, it was wicked, it was decadent. So, here's what you have. Randall would get saved out of complete just evil and debauchery and sin, and you're going to be a leader. And it's just without knowing much, right? So Corinth, I mean, they were a mess. But Paul said this. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? It's a great insult It's a great insult. And I don't highlight this to people, but the 90-plus Christians will look at me and go, I can't teach. I told you about the guy that you knew in Florida, right, that owned the Chick-fil-A, and he goes, I could never do that. And I looked at him and said, oh, I thought you had children. And he goes, I did. So you never taught your children all that they needed to know about Jesus Christ and then some? He says, I do. And I said, don't you love your children more than you love the world? Of course. Either you are an abject failure with your children, or you're just making excuses. Teach the world what you taught your children. You ought to be teaching your kids. You ought not to have an invitation, right, every night, just as I... You know, kids will do anything to please you. That's the balance. But you should be able to teach the Word of God strongly, teach it clearly, and you're going to see that it's you ought to be teachers. You ought to be asking God, oh, God, give me somebody to teach. That'll at least be in your prayers. Oh, God, help me to meet people. Give me people to teach. Give me people that will listen to the Word of God. That's how people are going to be saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we replace that with invite people to church and the staff will take over. That's not biblical. I don't mind having days of emphasis. We hit on Easter. We will again on Christmas Eve. I'd like to have another day. You know, family fun night. We'll have a great emphasis on the gospel and inviting lost people, and we'll try to draw them in. I mean, you know, I almost want to have kangaroos again. Kangaroos has been the best draw we've ever had. There have to be kangaroos in the jungle. I'll bring them back. Right? And so I would have kangaroos every vacation Bible school. So for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And it is, but you ought to be teachers. You ought to start teaching people, right? And I didn't mention, you know, like Dominique and Chiari and Krista and all that, just in case. You know, but it's, I love this, right? You're teaching them. It's good, right? I didn't mention others as well, but it is, you ought to be teaching. You ought to trust God enough to say, oh God, give me somebody to teach. Otherwise, what the Bible says is, you're a drag on the system. What the Bible says. Look, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you are taking the time of other people, and that shouldn't be. It says, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And we always ought to be willing to do that. But do you want to be that person that requires somebody to teach you again? Or do you want to get with it and let God teach you and for you to lead? He's saying that. He's saying, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, babies are cute. I mean, I had a little Callum, right? He's just, you know, I mean, he was just there, you know, he was working on his neck, right, or on neck, you know, and I mean, I'm still a little scared with babies, right? You think I'd never had any, right? Because, I mean, it's just like, oh, snapped off. I don't think that'll happen, but it is, you know, but I mean, all he wants is, you know, he's kind of a happy baby. He's a pretty content baby, but not when he's hungry. He just wants the milk. It's cute. But Callum is not accomplishing anything for the kingdom of God. That's what babies are. You understand that? When the Bible likens Christians to babies, you know, babe sounds a little softer. I'm a baby, baby. Suck your thumb, wash your face, and bubble gum. This is, you're a baby. Babies aren't useful for the kingdom of God, right? And that's what God's calling Christians that haven't grown up, that haven't just said, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to teach what I know and I'm going to keep on learning. And when you teach, that's how you'll learn. So God says, for when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now let's just look. Milk indicates someone. Look at this. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Right? And is a baby. You need to be teaching. Now, I'm telling you, this is why people leave. Because they're like, I'm not going to do that. You know what that's called? That's called disobedience. I told you, I've said this. I knew a couple would leave if I said this. I didn't say it knowing that, but I watched them flinch years and years ago. I said, if you're not teaching someone, you're in sin. They never came back. Folks, I don't know what you call disobedience, but sin. You ought to be teaching someone. You ought to be teaching people the Bible. At least, are you asking God? Are you asking people, hey, I'd like to have a Bible study with you. Hey, I'd like, you know, I'm telling you, you should take advantage of people coming to your door. Now Nassim, I mean, he got a Bible study. Now, he actually bought useless pest control at his house. There'll be no pest at Nassim and Ram's house. But he said, I'll sign your contract if you have a Bible study with me. And Jacob's carried the Bible study on since Nassim was gone. Nassim and Ram were gone the last 4 and 5 weeks. Nassim said, I mean, he was desperate enough that he signed this contract and to get a Bible study. This guy lives in Utah, not a Mormon. Lives in Utah, is going to leave in August. And I bring that up, and he probably doesn't like me bringing it up, but I love this. You get people knocking on your door. I told you, a guy came to my house. I keep texting him. They have to say, leave me alone. He's ghosting me right now. You know what I do? I can have a choice, right? Oh, I've got some free time. I'm bored. Oh, let me watch useless videos that will not affect me at all. Right? Or I can say, let me scan through my text. Oh, yeah, I haven't texted him in a while. Hey, how's it going? Ready for that Bible study yet? You know, and just try. Be nice about it. Be nice about it, you know. And what are you trying? If you never ask anybody for a Bible study, they're never going to have it. I want to tell you this. For when you ought to be teachers, or you're going to be a baby. Baptist churches are filled with babies, and they think they're mature people. Babies. They're not teaching anybody. They'll give you the same response that this super nice guy, he is the nicest guy, and he's super skilled too. I mean, I believe he's saved. I think he's saved. I mean, he's a Nazarene, and Nazarenes believe you can lose your salvation, you know, just like nearly every other group does. But I trust his faith is in Christ and Christ alone. But I didn't have the heart to tell him Thursday, well, you know, you're declaring yourself to be a baby. When you ought to be teachers, you have need that somebody else teach you. You're a baby and you're a drain on the kingdom of God. Is this too rough, you guys, or are you just, man, the hamburgers are really good, right? So I tell you this, we ought to be challenged by this, right? We ought to be, Todd asked me because I said something about Sunday school. I said, don't be discouraged. Well, because when things are highlighted, you know, when Todd preached that message on pride and humility, right? It's a bit overwhelming because every single person in Sunday school this morning, you should have been under conviction. But I love that. I didn't come to church to find out how awesome I am. I came to church to find out how awesome Jesus Christ is, how it's worthy of me doing whatever he wants, because when I do what he wants, he'll be glorified and I will benefit, even though you wouldn't know that because I resist it like the plague. So I don't want you to be discouraged. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. When you ought to be teachers and you're not, you're a baby. And so don't be discouraged by that. Be like, wow, I'm glad God highlighted that. I want to make it right with God. If you're asking people to try, you're trying to have Bible studies, that's all you can do, then blame God. Pray about it for 6 months consistently. Oh, God, give me a Bible study. Oh, God, give me people to teach. He will. People will ask you. I've told you. People will ask you to teach them. I believe that. But I think you need to be asking them, hey, I'd love to teach you the Bible. You'll have a heart attack, the first person that says yes. But you'll have delight in it You know, I mean, a guy like Jeff. I mean, Jeff's going to follow the Lord in baptism, Lord willing, August 11th. And he will have a ton of lost people here. And he's loving Sunday school. I mean, he's drinking by the fire hose, right? He's just barely getting a little bit, and it's splashing all over his head. But it's so good for him. It's just so good for him. And he's loving it. I said, oh, Jeff, I mean, this guy, I'm telling you, do you know on that list of 24 people, I think Jeff had 6 or 7 of them. Oh, and he's actively pursuing them. That's his coworker that's come with him the last 2 weeks. This is a guy that told me, I can't go to church. You don't understand. I have this anxiety, and I just can't get with crowds. This is the guy that told me, you know the worst thing that can happen to me if I go to church? They call me out. Get used to it, Jeff. He doesn't mind now. You know why? He says, if that's what you need to do to help people, I'm okay with that. See, and he doesn't know a lot. He just knows this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's so good. I want to be a baby like that. You see, he's ready to teach. I mean, I want to encourage you. You can do it. You don't want to be unskillful in the word of righteousness. Just teach the Bible. Second, strong meat. Here's what it does in verse 14. Strong meat, it says, belongeth to them that are of full age. Of full age. It's just mature. Let's grow up. That's why the title of the message, the need for Christians to grow up. Strong meat is for those of full age. And it says this, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We want to know what's right. We want to know what's wrong. And so it's more difficult for babies. Babies, you have to hold them by the hand. You have to, real babies, right? It's like, they can't do anything, right? I mean, I looked at Callum the other day. He was on this little swing, and it's like, it's like his whole body had shifted. I'm like, I would be in severe pain if I was in that. So I just kind of shifted him and got him back up, and he was like, oh, this is so much better. But you have to do everything for a baby, right? You don't want people to have to do everything for you. You want to know what's right and wrong. You want to be able to walk with God, and we need each other. There's no doubt about it. But let's grow up. Let's mature. Let's be able to teach the Bible. You, every single person in this room, I'm just going to look at every believer. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to pick them out. Who I think, you guys, ready? Ready? Ready, 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 ready. Girls, I've got to still teach you a little bit more. I want to make sure that you know Christ, all right? That's it, the good? I don't know you. Ready, 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 and I want to disciple you. Ready, and I want to disciple you, okay? Ready, 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 ready. Ready, 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 absolutely. You're ready. Teach people. Right? Or do you wait till you're 21? Is that what it says? In Hebrews chapter 9, it says when you're 21. Terrifying for you, right? You're like, right, ready, right. You can do it. Are you praying about it? Right? And my guess is no, but I'm just telling you, I want you to add to your prayer list. Oh, God, either... You can. Here's, I'm this confident I'm right. God, either strike Pastor Steve dead or give me someone to teach and give me the courage to ask them. If he's wrong on this stupid thing about Christians teaching others, take their plane down. Because all those other people, they deserve it. See, I'm confident if you prayed that, our plane's not going down for that reason. I can't tell you why the plane's going down, but I want you to tell you this. Trust in the Lord, right? I'm just not talking to adults. I'm talking to people that say, I love Jesus. I know I'm saved. I know what he's done for me. And you can sure teach others that. Get him in the Bible, right? You know what I'm telling you? You get young ones, get a children's storybook and just walk them through that, right? You get the Eggermeyer's Children's Storybook that I got upstairs. It has the questions that you should ask people in the back. I usually tell people that when I give out that book, but I'm telling you, You say you're not ready? Just say, hey, let me come over your house. I'll read your children a children's storybook. And then just talk really loud. You can do that, can't you? You can read a children's storybook and you can say, well, let me ask you some questions. Just turn to the back and ask those questions, right? And then what you're going to find out, your heart's going to lead you and you're going to say, oh, I love this. Ready? You thought I was done. Ready. Okay, I'm surprised. I didn't really, you know, everybody's ready. I need to talk to you guys more and disciple you more, right? So I love this. You know what I love? This guy right here, he's ready to do it. You're ready to tell people about Jesus, are you? All right, I want you to bring, here's your challenges. I want you to bring at least 5 friends to Vacation Bible School, okay? 5 friends. You think you can bring 5? How many can you bring? At least 5. Five or 10? Okay. 2. What are we doing? All right, but you know what I love? This is the trust that we ought to have. He's like, I'm ready. He doesn't even know it. He says, if Jesus says that, I'm ready. Right? And I'm going to help you guys. I want to teach you, right? So that you are ready. And so you know what I do? I tell people what you know. Let me tell you what I learned today, right? Just tell the people that you're going to be around today. Tell them what you know, what you learned today. All right? You're taking notes, right? Or you're drawing some awesome pictures. It's good. Here's the question for us, and then I'm going to get to the second part. What do you want to be? A baby that requires distraction from others, or do you want to be an adult? You want to be somebody that's a full age, mature, has their senses discerned to determine right and wrong. I want to be a man. I want to be a man that the Bible talks about. Now, this is interesting when we get to chapter 6. Let's just see here. So now, I want to remind you, I haven't done this often, but I think this is an important spot. I want to remind you, who's the book of Hebrews written to? We know this, it ain't the Shebrews, right? Ha ha ha. All right, it's the Hebrews. It's the Jews, right? So now this is kind of worded weirdly in my view, but not if you're a Jew. I want you to understand this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So if you the way I would talk about the doctrine of Christ is being abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit, immersing in Christ, focused on the gospel. I don't think that's what it means. Here's what I believe. I'm gonna put all these up here, and then these are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. These are the 7 things that are mentioned here in verse 1 and 2 that Paul, the writer, I don't know who it is, that God wants them to, they say we need to move beyond the basic doctrine. Here's what it says in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation. And then he says, I don't want to lay again the foundation of these. Here's what I believe. The doctrine of Christ is not all that we think of the doctrine of Christ, because I'm going to prove this to you. You don't have to believe me today, but you wait until you're going to see Christ be the focus of the book of Hebrews, if he hasn't already, in a way that says this is not leaving the focus of Christ, abiding in Christ, immersing in Christ, walking in the Spirit, focused on the gospel. That's not what this is dealing with. Here's what I think. I think all of this is given to Jewish believers. Now, let's just talk about it if you're a Jewish person. We need to move beyond basic doctrines, the doctrine of Christ. So here's what I believe he's talking to the Jews. It is informational. It's tell me the Old Testament verses that foretell who Jesus is. Tell me those verses again. Tell me about the prophet in Exodus. Tell me about Psalm 22. Tell me about Isaiah 53. Tell me about all of these theophanies, Christophanies in the Old Testament that point to Christ. Tell me how the ark points to Christ. Tell me all of this, and it's more factual. So I think the Jews wanted information, and I think what the writer's saying, what God's saying, is we got to move on beyond this. Just tell me the facts. You see, Christianity's not about the facts. Christianity's about a relationship. It's about a love. It's about a pursuit. It's about a joy with Jesus Christ. And that's what you're going to see in Hebrews as we continue on. So I think, at first when you read this, because look how it's kind of worded. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's forget that doctrine of Jesus. That's for the birds. That ain't what he's saying. But I think what you're going to see is he's talking to the Jews about just the facts. You see, it's this. Are you going to believe these, that Jesus is the fulfillment? And now we're going to move on to the deeper things. And the deeper things are a love and a pursuit of Jesus Christ. Okay? You don't have to agree with me, but just watch. So secondly, then, repentance from dead works. This was not an unusual message for the Jews. That, John came preaching repentance. He came preaching repentance and faith in Christ, and he was highlighting that, behold, the Lamb of God. He was highlighting that. But the Jews constantly would say, I need to do what's right. I need to repent from these bad things, because they were the religion of the rules. And yes, we ought to repent from dead works, but it's not about that. You following me? It's not about finding the rules and then doing the right rules and then turning from, where you're blowing it. That's all part of it, but it was who the Jews were. Faith toward God, I think it's more generic. I think every Jewish person I would talk to today says they would have faith toward God. You see, but it's faith in God who sent his Son. You see, you cannot have faith in God if you reject his Son. The Bible's very clear about that. And yes, is faith toward God important? But you can't. So I think he's talking to the Jews. Baptisms. Now, this is interesting, and I wrote this out because you all know the typical word for baptisms is baptizo, right? That's the typical word. I do love this. It's a baptismos is the word used here. And it's also the word that's used for talking about the Jewish ceremonial washings in Mark chapter 7 twice and then in Hebrews chapter 9. So here's what I believe. I believe he's talking to. That's why baptisms. Is it curious to you in Hebrews chapter 6 that it called it baptisms? Why are we talking about baptisms? So he was just talking about they're still dealing with Jewish law, and so he says we got to move beyond this. And I think what they explained is, in Christ, these are things of the past. And so I think he was probably more talking about versus the doctrine of baptism as we would know it. It's talking about their ceremonial cleansings as Jews, laying on of hands. Does that seem like a weird one that would be a focus? But you got to understand, as a Jew, laying on of hands. I just a few examples, right? You'll see laying on of hands in the Old Testament with blessings, right? I mean, sometimes, right, they would put their hand under their thigh as a symbolism, but it was always laying on of hands, and it was the works of healing, even happened in the Old Testament. It was God's anointing would be the laying on of hands, even in Numbers, Deuteronomy, even in the New Testament. And then you'll see that the apostles had the ability of laying on of hands to give gifts, including tongues, right? So I think this was, again, to the Jews, because the Jews' laying on of hands was not that foreign to them. But I think what the Jews were caught up into is they were trying to exalt their Jewish works and bring them into Christianity that God didn't intend, right? They were all symbols. Now Christ has come. So I think when he's saying this, we need to move beyond basic doctrines. The doctrine of Christ, I think it was informational. Repentance from dead works. It's like what you have to focus on is Christ, not. We need to be aware of our sin, but you cannot focus on your sin as a Christian. You need to focus on Christ. That's the message we preach. Faith toward God, baptism, laying on his hands, resurrection of the dead. Again, most of the Jews... You got the Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, but that was a small group. But most of the Jews believed in a resurrection from the dead. And he goes, great. The Bible's clear. The Bible teaches the resurrection from the dead. Absolutely. There'll be a resurrection of all bodies in the future. And then finally, eternal judgment. And so what God has here for the Jews is they all know this. There's going to be eternal judgment. There's going to be eternal judgment. So let me just review these, and then I'm done. I told you I'd be shorter this afternoon. So let me show you here. Let me just try to tie the pieces together. Let me go back to my previous... Oh, I forgot I had all those clicks. He said this, when we ought to be teachers, we have need for someone to teach us the first principles of God. We're acting like babies. We aren't skillful in the Word of God. When we ought to be mature, we ought, in maturity, would say we can discern between right and wrong. And then what he does is he gives all of these here. Okay, sure, I didn't go past. He gives all of these here and says, we need to move beyond these. Christ is throughout the Old Testament. I think that's what he's doing. Yes, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms or ceremonial cleansings, a laying on of hands. Yes, it's part of history. It's even part of the New Testament. Resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And here's what I want you to understand. Outside of what we would call the doctrine of Christ, are any of those things that we would focus on when we disciple someone? Repentance that it's talking about there from dead works is different. Repentance is complete abandonment and turning to Christ, a little bit different than what the Jews were just talking about, individual acts of following the rules more. We would talk about faith in Christ, but not generically faith toward God. We would talk about baptism, but not ceremonial cleansing. So what I'm telling you is, what God is telling these folks is, you've got to move beyond the basics. And you need to understand Christ and all that Christ is, and grow up. And so I finish with this faster than, it's this. Are you a baby? Or are you mature? And what I tell you to do is just start teaching today. You'll grow up fast. Just start teaching today. I hope one day that we just were so overwhelmed with just the joy of loving Christ and pursuing souls and loving each other, we won't have any problems here. You know why? When you're involved in the work of the Lord, you'll be long-suffering, you'll be patient, and you'll be enthralled in the work of God. You know why? And there can be other reasons, but it is without this, and this is not the norm. People leave churches because I'm bored. I don't like this. I don't like that. I want you, if you leave Hope Baptist Church, and you can, I want you to leave because you believe you can honor Christ, you can pursue souls, you can glorify Him, you can thrive in Christ better. But here's the reality. Hope Baptist isn't all that. But what's all that is Jesus Christ doing His work. I don't think it, I know it sounds crazy. I don't think it, to some degree it does. Be a Baptist, right? To some degree, you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven, but I'm a Baptist because I believe that's the kind of church Jesus established, right? But to some degree, I don't think it matters where you're at when you're doing the work of God, right? I mean, maybe it does. Maybe I'm over. It's one of the biggest decisions you'll make. I'm just telling you this. Get involved in the work of God. Get involved in the work of God. Get involved in the work of God. Whether it's South Africa, whether it's Fairfield, whether it's Forest Park. And I know when God puts something on your heart's in South Africa. I love that. Do you know this? Where I want your heart more than South Africa, I want it with Christ and with souls. Wherever you're at, I want you to act like you're in South Africa. And just love people, pursue people, teach people. And you know what? Then what we'll find is a lot of these, what I'll say, for the Jews, extraneous doctrines, we need to move beyond that and get to the depths of Christ. That's what the Bible is teaching us here. Happy to talk more about this. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll talk a couple of business things.